there's a lot of bombs being dropped. There's a lot of other words get dropped too. But when it comes, if you really want to tick this man off, if you ever meet him at a Comic Con or a WrestleCon, just use the word Vince Russo, and the man will turn blood red. Just use
it. I don't
Vince
think
Russo.
I would do that.
Do you, okay,
you know,
you can
listened.
Use, go ahead.
I've listened to Jimmy's podcast, and it's very informative. And I'm like you said, it's and I've said a few words in my day, you know, but I don't use it as common everyday language. I mean, it's like he's having a conversation and he's talking about Jell-O and he says F-bomb Jell-O, you know. I don't understand why he has to, but that's him.
I don't know.
That's his personality. That's fine. But I just get a little tired of it. I have to turn it off after a while, to be honest with you. So,
well, I mean, I listen to his just like I listen to Turnbuckle Trash. And, I mean, yeah, sometimes I get tired of hearing it. But, I mean, when he tells his stories and you're sitting there and you can actually visualize these two going at each other back and forth, and you can see Vince Russo and he's got his hands around. It's almost like Homer Simpson with Bart Simpson with his hands wrapped around his throat and just choking the living daylights out of him. Yeah, or the time when Jim Cornette got kicked out of the Dairy Queen in, I think it was in Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, they had to have the police and, they had to escort him off the property, which he's not allowed at anymore at the time of his life, or a Dairy Queen burns to the ground. Yeah, Jim Cornette is just, it's absolutely amazing, this man. But his tennis racket is what he's always, the tennis racket is what he's famous for.
I heard him one time saying that when he would go into a particularly hostile crowd, that he actually would have a brick inside that tennis racket for protection for himself.
He'd have a horseshoe and a dog collar chain. Inside the tennis racket, and one time it was accidentally used on Ricky Morton on his back.
Ooh.
They were in the ring. I think it was in Missouri, and Cornette had gotten knocked down, and I think it was one of the Midnight Express had picked up the racket, and the guy's adrenaline was pumped up so much. And he said he went to go and hit Ricky Morton over the back, and Jim Cornette was saying, no, don't do it. And it sounded like a shotgun went off.
Oh.
All that weight. And he said, you should have seen Ricky Morton's eyes. He said it looked like a cartoon character where the eyes bug out of his head. And you saw every bit of ounce of fluid just flow right out of that man's body. And when he came back into the back of the area, Ricky Morton looked, he says, I got one question. What was in that racket? And then they started dumping it out. And it was the horseshoe and the dog collar chain. And Ricky Morton looked up. He says, well, that's going to be a lawsuit.
That's amazing.
You got to remember some of Jim Cornette from Memphis, don't you? I mean,
Memphis,
was he there?
The Georgia Championship. Yeah, I saw him little bit in Memphis in Georgia Championship Wrestling. And I loved the feud between the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express.
That's
were the ones that did that scaffold match when he fell from the scaffold onto the ring.
Oh, yeah, him, the Midnight Express, and the Legion of Doom. And that's when he blew out his left knee when he went down.
Oh, that was against the Road Warriors, huh?
That was against the Road Warriors. Well, I think they did a second scalpel match between him, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, and the Midnight Express and the Legion of Doom. And when Jim was hanging by the scaffold, Big Bubba Rogers, the Big Boss Man, was supposed to have caught Jim Cornette, and Jim fell, and Bubba looked at Jim and goes, you fell so fast. I couldn't catch you. He fell so fast, and it was just, and he blew out his left. I mean, Jim Cornette has had some major injuries in professional wrestling. Two blown out knees, a dislocated jaw, a broken left jaw. He's had his head split open about four or five, I don't know how many times. But Jim is one of, like I said, he's on the Mount Rushmore. For me, he is. I don't know about anybody else, but I like Jim Cornette. And if anybody
as a manager, I would. I would put him up there, too. Wow. Well, that's really cool. His podcast is available out there. Listen to it. And if you're offended by so much language, just kind of close your ears a little bit. And I'm sure there are times when I've seen him on interviews and things where he talks, you know, and he talks normal. I think he can turn it on and off, but.
Well, I think, I think it's going to be interesting for all the fans to go back and see what this manager / somewhat professional wrestler. And you know what? Jim Cornette wrestled one of my favorite guys that you introduced me to when I was just a little kid that almost jumped over the rail to go get. He wrestled the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
He did not.
Yes, he did.
He wrestled.
Yes, he did. He wrestled the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yes, he did.
Well, shut my mouth and call me fat.
You're not.
No.
But the thing of it is that he wrestled the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and he wrestled a lot of people. I mean, Jim Cornette is he's something that has to be experienced. And maybe sometimes you would like it, sometimes you don't. But like he always said, if you don't like me, that's fine. And if you do like me, keep listening. But
I'll tell you this. If I was going to open a wrestling company and I was wanting to go either regional or nationwide, I would hire Jim Cornette as a consultant in a minute if I could afford him. And if I could afford him, I would drop a lot of money on that man to get a company started, because I think he's that brilliant and how he wants to develop storylines and his knowledge of professional wrestling. And people to say that he wants to do the wrestling, I think it's because he has a southern accent. Give me a break.
Well, see,
he knows the game. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what led his downfall in the WWF as well, because he was too southern for their northern wrestling. And if you said wrestling, they didn't like it at all. They told him, we're not a wrestling company. We're an entertainment company. And then he finally had enough of it and said, look, I'm 280-something pounds. I'm going to kill Vince Russo, and I'm going to commit murder to half of this of Titan Tower if I don't get out of here. And that's when he went to OVW. And started the developmental career at OVW, and that didn't last too long either when he slapped Santino Marella across the face.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a character. That man is a character. I mean, but if you want to get a company started, that's the man to get is Jim Cornette. That's one of the best. I wouldn't mind sitting down for a couple of hours and just picking his brain. Just to hear his stories.
So, me too, yeah. Now, on the WWE Network, Pritchard has his podcast that he's doing on there right now, Something to Wrestling is what they call it. And one of the first, if it wasn't the first, it was the second one, where Pritchard talked about Vince Russo. And that morphed into a conversation about Russo and Jimmy Cornette, who just hate each other, told a lot of the same stories we've been talking about. So if you have the network, you know, give that a try. You can find the one, Pritchard's wrestling, Something to Wrestle With, the one with about Vince Russo. And Pritchard is not a fan of Vince Russo. I'll tell you that right now.
Who is? Nobody.
Oh, not me.
No,
not me.
Nobody.
I mean, Vince Russo is the guy that gave us David Arquette as the world champion.
Well, Vince Russo is the mastermind. He says that he's the mastermind behind Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and the Attitude Era. And then didn't even tell Vince he was leaving WWF to go to WCW. Not even, it was just a phone call, not even a handshake, and say, thank you for giving my opportunity. Then he closed down a $1 billion business, went over to TNA, and basically almost shut them down, and then stabbed them in the back by telling the Outdoor Network, hey, you've been sold a bill of goods, and I'm the only one that can help you get this out. And it happens. I mean, what can you do? The man is a backstabber. He doesn't know what he's doing. And all the fans want to hurt him. That's why you never see him at Comic-Con conventions or wrestling. All the fans and even the boys, they want to stretch him up. So
yeah.
But,
Vince is involved with a small promotion in Colorado somewhat. You can pick it up on Fight TV. And it's not bad. But David Arquette, I wanted to tell you this. I don't know if you knew this or not. But David Arquette recently announced he's getting back in the ring as a wrestler. He's been training. I think he's in his 40s now. And it was announced that he will be at an upcoming taping of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Dramamine takes
now
me
away. Now,
he
can go fine, but holy. I'm hoping that they will show David Arquette going to the ring and seeing how the crowd reacts. That's what I want to see.
Oh, I can already tell you how the crowd is going to react. They're going to start throwing chairs at the man until someone clocks him. And I'm hoping I can watch that because I want to see that chair go around his neck. David Arquette, yes, the man that held the WCW World Championship. And when everybody in WCW saw that, we all looked at each other and went, okay, I'm done with you.
Oh, I was angry. I was ticked.
Oh, I know it was.
I didn't like it at all.
No, but no one else did. The ratings fell so freaking bad. It was pathetic when that happened. I mean, but thanks to Vince Russo, the Archbishop of Talent Burial. So, yeah. Thank you, Vince. You ruined a $1 billion company and ruined the one thing that could have probably took Vince McMahon down. So, thank you. Bye. Nice to have the check. So, I don't know.
But Chris, thank you so much for, giving this suggestion. And, hey, thanks to Mike for the suggestion talking about Mr. Jim Cornette, the Midnight Express. Man, I love Dennis Condrey and beautiful Bobby together.
Oh, my gosh, yes. The Midnight Express, one of the top tag teams in the world. They should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. They should be, but that's not going to happen, not yet, because they were never part of the WWE. So we'll see what happens. You never know. They put the Rock and Roll Express in, and we'll see what goes on. And one more thing. Did y'all hear about Jim Ross?
Yes, I just heard about that today.
Okay,
go ahead and
good.
Tell us what was going on.
I think there was an accident at a Japan. He was either in Japan, and they did a move outside the ring, hit the commentator's table, and Vince, and it broke two ribs on Jim Ross. Broke a couple of his ribs.
Yes.
He got involved. So let's hope Jim Ross is okay. I mean, he's not in his, what is he, in the 60s, 70s by now? I think he's 70s. So good luck to him. And Michael Calvin for Turnbuckle Trash was wanting to do an interview with you at any time that you can be able to. Mike, thank you for all the information that you wanted to do for us. And thanks for bringing this subject up. It was kind of fun doing. It was really fun doing this, talking about Mr. Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, everybody can get into wrestling. I mean, you don't have to be. If you remember the old time wrestling back in the 80s, that's when it was real good to have in the 90s. And now it's just you watch it and you scratch your head and you wonder, why am I wasting two and a half hours of my life I'll never get back? But, no, it's good. We'll see what happens with, Extreme Rules coming up, and, hopefully the card will be good to see, and we'll hopefully everything will work out like it should. Let's hope.
Yeah,
let's hope.
Tell people, you know, if you want to watch the WWE, it's more mainstream. Some of their big matches are really, really good. Some of their storytelling I don't particularly like. I think it's very tell them if you want to see some old style just stomping and just getting at it, watch some of the Impact Wrestling. It's really good now. And also Lucha Underground. I love Lucha Underground.
Yeah, Lucha's, I haven't really caught up with Lucha Underground, and TNA is getting better and better by the day. I think that their writing staff has finally woke up from the comatose sleep that they've been in for so many years. And it's about time that they're starting to bring in these new wrestlers that people have never really gotten to see from the indies. And now that they're Sami Callihan is just tearing up Impact, and he's causing all kinds of problems. And oh my gosh. Yeah, it's good. Davey Richards is, he's lost his mind. Or yeah.
I think what Impact is doing right is they're starting to share some talent. Like Austin Aries recently appeared on ROH. Sami Callihan appears at Lucha Underground. And our friend Martin Casals has a YouTube channel. And he does a little bit of, I just watched it yesterday, does a little bit behind the scenes and of Lucha Underground. And then there's a segment where he and Sami Callihan are just walking down the street in L.A. after going to a Subway to get dinner at midnight. Funny, funny stuff. But if you want to check it out, check out Marty the Moth or Martin Casals on YouTube. He has all kinds of great videos. And what I am such a Moth fan.
Please stay tuned to Turnbuckle Trash, because these guys know what they're talking about, and you finally get a good perspective on professional wrestling, and not like these other podcasts that just go by a script. These guys know what they're talking about. But other than that, professional wrestling is doing very well. It's just hopefully they can take down the big bad giant, but I don't think there's going to be any organization that'll take down Vince. Not in our lifetime, I don't think so.
I tell you what, one thing I'm going to put a plug in here. I am starting to become such a fan of NXT. Have you recently been able to watch NXT at all?
No, I have not been able to see NXT, but I get to see some of it on Facebook where people post different things on wrestling pages, and I get to, you know, watch some of those guys. I mean, the one that dove over the top ring and landed on his feet.
Oh, that's Ricochet.
I was so impressed with that.
If you get a chance, I don't know if it's available on YouTube or if you know someone that might have the network or if you have it.
Uh-huh.
NXT TakeOver Chicago recently happened, and the Ricochet match against the Velveteen Dream. And it is an incredible match. Then they have a championship match, and then they have one of those no-holds barred kind of a extreme rules match with Johnny Wrestling and Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa needs to be on the big roster. He is the best heel in the business. Guaranteed, the best heel in the business, Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, yeah.
Love that guy.
Tommaso Ciampa right now, I mean, he's looking so freaking evil. I mean, I like Ciampa. He is, oh, my gosh. That man right there, he reminds me of the old Undertaker when he was with, when he first arrived. He was dark and evil, and he just looked so scary, and I like Ciampa, like the end job with TNA right now. Fine.
Well, Johnny Gargano lost that match to Ciampa, but it is well worth watching. Well, Chris, gotta let you go, man. I know. Are you done with your other mile?
Huh? Hello.
Hey, have you finished your other mile?
Just looked at my phone that I'm on right now. 6,147 steps. Yep, that's it. I'm done. So, that's it. I'm finished.
Well, good
now
luck.
I got to, yes, I'm going to enjoy this and see if the air conditioner will make me into Frosty the Snowman real quick, because I'm going to need it after this.
Oh.
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous, dangerous dude. That I was bad to the bone.
A plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm a bad, bad,
Damn right he is.
And today on Trash Head Talkback, we're going to talk to one of our trash heads out there right now, and Mike Calvin is joining us from North Carolina. How you doing, Mike?
Good. I'm doing real good.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you were telling me a few minutes ago that you're a former Marine. Thank you for your service. We do appreciate that, and I just have my hat is off to you for serving our country like you did. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Well, Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about professional wrestling because you do listen to our podcast, and we do appreciate that, Turnbuckle Trash. And you are friends with the original Trash Head himself, Chris Evans. Is that correct? Yeah. How long you guys known each other?
Actually, known and talked to him. I think it was probably my sophomore year in high school, freshman year, sophomore mm-hmm. year in high school. But it goes further back than that because his mom was actually my third grade teacher.
Oh, okay. So you had Miss Brenda, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brenda is my cousin, by the way. Mike, let's talk a little bit about professional wrestling now. You are a fan of professional wrestling. So when did you start watching the product?
I started actually 82, 83. So I was like 3-4. Mm-hmm. Watching with my dad, it was the Memphis territory. Mm-hmm. Remember seeing actually, one of the events, I was able to go to was at the high school.
You went to a match at the high school in Paris then? And I lived there for 3 years and then never had anything come in, so.
Like I said, I think it was like 83, 84 time frame. I don't know why they stopped or, uh-huh. you know, what happened as far as that, but I remember, I think it was every Saturday night they had matches. At our high school.
Do you remember anybody that you saw there that you remember?
I want to say it was Dirty Dutch Mantel. Wow. I remember I still have his little gimmick picture, memorabilia. Actually, I still have that card or little picture of him. The Fabulous Ones was real popular at the time. And so that was my team go-to. Kept watching them just to watch, you know, hoping to see them. Actually, I think the match that went to the high school for, they were scheduled, but then other things arose. So they wasn't there, but I did that get to see Dirty Dutch Mantel, and I can't remember who he was wrestling. I just remember seeing him.
Well, that's cool. So have you stayed with watching wrestling throughout the years, or did you take a little break and then come back?
I would say off and on through different venues of just not having cable or it stopped showing because you lived in Paris. I mean, I think we got cable actually out to where I lived in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. later to mid-90s. So, I mean, a lot of the wrestling promotions, if I was able to get it with the antenna, I was, but a lot of it I couldn't.
Well, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about throughout the years when you had a chance to watch wrestling. Are there favorites that now that aren't wrestling now that you just remember being a big fan of?
Well, I mean, yeah, I still Sting, of course. I mean, I guess I could say I was the fan of all the faces and then all the heels that, you know, I love to hate the heels. You know, I'm a big fan of Sting, hated Vader at the time when, you know, Sting and Vader had their matches. Constantly hated Flair and the Horsemen for what they did, you know, to Sting. And so, I mean, at the time, like I said, I was just straight into it, loved it as a fan for what they were trying to portray. And then it, you know, of course, I guess the secret came out and that didn't deter me from watching it. I just kind of loved to see, like, well, what are the angles they're going to go for? Mid-90s, you know, it was the Sting, Flair, the Steiners, big fan of the Steiners. Then I was actually able to start watching the WWF at the time, now WWE. I wasn't a big fan because, I mean, at the time, still Hogan was the big fan, you know, the big draw, which I'm not trying to take anything away from Hogan. I guess my view on him has changed as I got older. But, you know, when I was young, still remember eat your vitamins, say your prayers, and I liked it, but I didn't know any better at the time, I guess you can say. Big fan of the Monday Night Wars. During the Monday Night Wars, actually, after, I think in 97 is when I went to boot camp, so I obviously had to stop watching for a couple months there. Then lost touch of it for a couple years. Got back into it right as, once they Stone Cold got his, right after he transferred from the Ringmaster.
Oh.
Yeah, he changed from the Ringmaster.
Yeah.
Right as he got hot. Still remember that promo. I love that promo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right after WWE bought WCW, I still watched, but kind of got away from it. And then I've just been kind of in and out since then. A lot of the creative, I guess you can say, I don't understand. I just don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, it's just logical. If you get all these wrestling fans, how can you just keep pushing certain people? And
that's probably one of the biggest frustrations I've talked to with wrestling fans over the last couple of years, that the big one right now is the big push that Roman Reigns has gotten over the last few years, and he gets booed, he gets cheered, and I think we as the longtime fans get a little tired of the stick, and it sounds like you're right there with us, huh?
Okay, don't get me wrong. Don't hate me now.
I'm not gonna hate you now.
I do like Reigns. However, he just needs to be pushed a different way. They should have, after Plan B happened, you know?
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that today. After Plan B happened, I believe it should have been Roman instead of Seth. And I'm not taking anything away from Seth. Seth is an outstanding athlete. Mm-hmm. And I believe he would have been on top regardless of the push he would have got. But if Roman would just turn heel and WWE would let him talk, because I think there's sometimes you can see his brilliance, and I'm not trying to give him all the credit. I'm just saying the promo where him and Brock, you know, Brock wasn't there, and, you know, he kind of threw Brock under the bus, you know, like, whoa, he just cares more about UFC.
Brock Lesnar is an entitled piece of crap who hides behind his contract. I mean, think about it, y'all. Think about it. We are 6 weeks from WrestleMania, and the Universal Champion is not here today. We were in Vegas last night. Brock was in Vegas. He wasn't at the Elimination Chamber. Guess where he was? He was running around the strip taking pictures with Dana White and the UFC on social media. You want to know why? Because he doesn't respect me, he doesn't respect any of you, and he doesn't respect anybody in that locker room. And I'm sick of it. We're all sick of it. They all know it back there. We all know it. Every single week, me and them boys run across this world and we bust our ass. And Brock just shows up whenever he wants to, when the money's right or the city's right. But we don't care. It doesn't matter how many people show up, how big the town is, I'll be there. Because I said I'll be there. And Brock and Paul, don't worry, they're going to come out here and say, we're businessmen. Well, guess what? I was born in this business. My family and my bloodline is this business. And I was taught at an early age that there's a fine line between business and respect. And I say this right now. I don't respect Brock Lesnar. And I damn sure don't fear that bitch.
That looked more real, and that looked like, you know, believable, versus him trying to go out there and get the cheers, you know.
Yeah, you and I are, we're right there, because I've said on the last couple of pods that I think that the way to get Roman Reigns over, which he's over now, but he's not over the top like he could be, is to turn him as a really bad heel for a year or two, and then try to turn him back maybe to more of a good guy babyface. But I think his personality, his look, and all that he does probably lends him more to being the bad guy, the big dog, you know, the big dog that just makes sure that everybody comes in his yard, that they know that he's in charge. And I just don't think I don't know if they were trying to make him another Rock or what, but there's been a little bit of a fan backlash. And if you look back at Dwayne's career, they started off with him with a face for a short time, and then when they brought him into the Nation of Domination and made him a heel, and that's when he took off. And I think basically the same thing could happen to Roman, but he doesn't have the same mic skills. I mean, he's not funny. He's not the kind of things that The Rock was, but I think they could do a lot better with Roman Reigns at this point by switching him a little bit. I think it'd be fun, so.
Give him The Rock push. Where, like, exactly what you just said. They tried him at face, and he didn't work. He was great as a heel with the Shield. He should have stayed heel. Mm-hmm. And then I believe he would get real good pops if he was heel first.
Well, since you and I kind of grew up, I mean, I'm quite a bit older than you, but we grew up in the Memphis territory, and I'm just remembering when, like Jerry Lawler would have a feud with somebody, and then he'd bring in somebody, that was a heel from the past, maybe bringing in Austin Idol to help him in a tag team, or, even bring in Bill Dundee, who he feuded with for years, and then teaming up with Bill Dundee for a little while, bringing him as a face team, but they have battled each other for a while. I could see Roman being that kind of wrestler to come in and kind of clean up, almost being the sheriff instead of the constable, which they have right now. But yeah, it would be kind of fun. So I was going to ask you, Mike, when you've done your travels, when you were in the service, you didn't get to follow it very much, but do you remember any place that had any other type of wrestling besides the WWE?
Actually, no. A majority of the bases I was at, you know, has always been stateside. My deployments, I only went on one deployment, and it was on a boat. So All I did was get to port off and on, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't a big, you know, I didn't get to see, like, after 9/11, it came real popular in December, for the troops, and they'd go over. I did get to see one, it was Monday Night Raw, was in Phoenix, and then they did do a show in Yuma, which was the town I was in. I did get to go to that. So, I mean, I did have fun there.
It's just a different thing. I mean, you enjoy it on TV, but being at the matches live is just something different, isn't it, Mike?
Oh, by far. I had a blast. I wish I could tell you more about the event that happened at my high school, but I was too young. I just remember I did get to go, and I got to see them. I remember a lot more from I think it was a 2000 house show that I got to go to, but other than that, I haven't been a lot to, you know, the shows. Majority of mine's following on TV or off the network.
We've been talking to WWE, so I'm going to ask you first, a couple of favorite WWE wrestlers that you really enjoy what they're doing.
Now I'm really going to get a lot of heat on this one.
Okay.
I think I'm one of the very few that actually like Brock.
Mike.
Now, actually, me and Chris messaged each other here I think a couple days ago, and I was telling him about it. I was like, I don't like, him holding the title. That I want to make clear. I do not, he does not need the title if he's doing this part time. He does not need the title. It devalues the title. Anyone that holds it this long, it only, I think he wrestled or defended it, I think, 5-6 times or, I'm estimating, but, you know, just a handful of times versus every single pay-per-view that the Raw is considered, it needs to be defended. But, you know, with he does kind of devalue that, but I'm a fan of him because of what he's done as an athlete. As an athlete, that's what I admire from him. He is a beast. Yeah. He is a big guy. You know, and no pun intended with calling him the beast. But he is, he's just huge and very athletic. When he first came into WWE, he did have a lot more moves than just the Suplex City and, you know, F5. I think that's really much all he does other than his little ground and pound MMA that he tries to incorporate as his character. The infamous moonsault where he missed, you know, I like seeing him take chances like that. But I mean, as an athlete outside the box, he's amazing as far as that. I know he doesn't like the wrestling as for what it is. I know he's in it for the money. I just respect him as an athlete.
You know, he did try out for the Minnesota Vikings and he was the last cut. On that team, they said that they were considering him just to be a pass rusher and also a special teams player, but he was the last cut of that preseason. They said he just didn't have enough football experience to be an NFL player, but they were really impressed with his athletic ability. So for that aspect, I'll 100% agree with you. But, and then I'll agree with you also with the, that he doesn't need to have the title belt. I think that's where I'm just tired of his stick right now because, I mean, you expect to see the champion on TV, you know, and they don't have that. And their ratings are down. I mean, there was just a story yesterday that the lowest ratings for Monday Night Raw in history happened this past Monday night. And I don't hate Monday Night Raw, but I think that they're making some huge mistakes on that program by not having the champion on there enough. I think that's probably one of the problems.
I agree. Not having the champion always be there or always be a part of a good feud or a good, you know, something good. A champion needs to be there to defend the title. I mean, that's what everybody's in for, the proverbial brass ring Vince always talks about. That's everybody's brass ring. Everybody wants to go for the title. But if it's not there, everything you're doing is useless. I mean, you're having great matches, but you're not having it for... You're not having it mean anything.
Well, we're speaking to Mike Calvin right now on Trash Head Talkback on Turnbuckle Trash. And Mike, we've talked about Brock Lesnar. Are there any other favorites that are in the WWE right now?
I'm starting to like The Miz. I'm still not a big fan, but I'm respecting what he does as far as he has outstanding promos. I love the promo where he cut against, Daniel Bryan, talking smack. I love seeing that out of actually any wrestler that actually throws heart into what they do and looks like that. Yes. The Bludgeon Brothers, I think they're okay. I did like the, where they're trying to build them up as a beast team. And I forget, it was a couple of pay-per-views back, but I mean, it was just a squash match. And I think that was great, you know, to build up a character like that. I like Seth. I like Finn. Like Roman. AJ, I don't think I could say a bad word about AJ. I did get to start following him from TNA over to, I got to see a couple matches in New Japan, what he's now in WWE, and I think he's outstanding. I believe everything that I've seen where everybody compares him to Shawn Michaels, 100% agree with that. Like that one post I posted actually on the website for Turnbuckle Trash. Where I was like, hey, everybody, you know, SummerSlam coming up, book it. And the title match, I'd have AJ and Shawn. I think that would be a phenomenal match between two people.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
It'd be amazing. But, you know, I don't know what Sean, you know, where Sean's at. I know AJ's publicly said, like, yeah, yeah, you know, I'm great game. But Sean's also older in age. So he wouldn't be the same Mr. WrestleMania. He wouldn't be the same.
Well, I'm going to tell you how old I am. I saw Shawn Michaels live in Cottonport, Louisiana, I think it was, when he was just barely 18 years old. And he was there with Marty Jannetty, and they were taking on the Fabulous Freebirds at a match that I was actually the ringside announcer at. I could see something in that kid at that point that, I said he has had a good chance. I really enjoyed his work. But Mike, you brought up TNA, you brought up New Japan. Do you get to follow any of the other wrestling now, or are you like the rest of us that get almost too busy to follow what's going on in the other parts of the world?
Majority of it is all the latter. You know, I got three kids and work and wife and all that. But when I can follow, I do try to, or I try to catch on. I think Ring of Honor, I just noticed, is on one of my channels. I just can't keep remembering the time to record it. New Japan's out there, same thing with TNA, but I can't. Everything is so much has changed with TNA now that I don't even know what channel they're on. And I've just heard a lot of bad things about TNA that it just kind of really doesn't make me want to watch that product.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance though to watch it, it has improved because they're getting more consistent with their product now. So you get a chance. It's on Pop TV. I don't have Pop TV on my service, so I really have to search for it. But I do enjoy what they're doing right now. And when you mentioned ROH Wrestling, there's a wrestler on there named Chucky T. And he's part of the tag team called the Best Friends. And he's from your old backyard stomping grounds. He's from Murray, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been getting just a little bit of a push from recently on there. They have a tag team called the Best Friends. He goes by Chucky T, I think it is. And a pretty good little wrestler there. And then another wrestler that's getting pretty famous from kind of in your backyard from when you were in Tennessee is Ricochet, who's now becoming a big star in the NXT, if you've ever got to watch that, or if you ever watched Lucha Underground, which I just love. He was Prince Puma on that. But Ricochet is from Paducah, Kentucky, of all places.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he was from there, but I have paid attention to some of his matches, and he's a real good athlete. What was the promo in NXT where he, like, I can't remember, I think the Velveteen Dream, anything you can do, I can do better, and then he does this, like, moonsault and lands on his knees on the floor, and I'm just like, ow?
Ow?
But, yeah, I mean, that was an amazing move, but well, I guess you can more or less say, why would you do that? Me being older now, that just hurts me. But, I mean, I was still, that's an amazing moveset, you know. And then he walks off, and I was like, yeah, that's really making a statement.
So you said you have the WWE Network. Is that on the WWE Network, when we're recording this, we're getting ready for Extreme Rules on Sunday. Are you always trying to watch all the pay-per-views and that kind of thing?
I do at least try to watch the pay-per-views. At least, I mean, that kind of keeps me up, set up for kind of still following along the lines if I can't follow it every Monday, every Tuesday, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do at least do kind of watch that. But creative is so horrible, I can pretty much piece together from point A to point B of just watching 1 month to the next month pay-per-view, and I don't even have to follow the 4 weeks in between.